Good to see everyone today. Hope that you had a good week this past week. Hope that you enjoyed your Thanksgiving meals and maybe the shopping that took place after that on, well, really Thanksgiving and on Friday. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we will study the subject tonight of why they left because of the role of women in the church. And so we will study that subject tonight at 5:30. Hope that you can be here with us. You know, as we think about this past week, Thursday was Thanksgiving, and then Friday is known as Black Friday. It's supposedly the busiest shopping day of the entire year. You know, people are out looking for bargains, hoping to save money. And I found it interesting this year, and perhaps it's been this way all along, but I saw a lot of people posting, and even Wednesday night, the one who did devotional even kind of alluded to the fact that it's kind of maybe hypocritical to on Thursday sit and think about what we're thankful for and then go out and buy more stuff the next day. And as I thought about that, you know, I'm sure there were some people who maybe did do that, who may have been all about themselves on Friday or Thursday evening or whatever. But I tend to think of it a little more differently, and I prefer to think of it differently. That maybe it was an opportunity for them to go buy something for someone else. This is the season of giving. And I think that's the way we ought to look at it. I think that's the way we ought to approach it. Yeah, there's a lot of commercialization to Christmas, isn't there? It starts early. It starts earlier and earlier. The earliest, I believe, this year that I saw Christmas stuff in a store was maybe September. Even before some Halloween costumes came out, I saw some Christmas stuff in the store. So it seems like it gets earlier and earlier every year. But this morning, I want to think of it a little bit different. You know, there are some who maybe feel a little jaded because of the commercialization of some of these things. But when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? When you think of the Christmas season, what do you think of? You know, obviously it's in full effect. Our stores are decorated. The Christmas trees are up in a lot of places. Now, music is playing. You turn on the radio now, you'll hear plenty of Christmas music. You know, it's the time of year that we think about Christ. And for a lot of people, that's what they say. Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we have a month-long opportunity to really embrace folks who don't normally think about Christ to think about Him. And so we have an opportunity to think about the great gift that God gave for us. The great gift that God gave in His Son that saves us from our sins. But it's also the season that kids and adults get excited about giving and receiving gifts. You know, Thanksgiving is kind of our time in our family that we start handing out our list. You know, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And so we swap those lists on Thanksgiving Day. And it's, I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoy giving gifts that people want. Giving things that people actually need or ask for. You know, it's the giving season. If we focus only on what we're receiving, we miss the point and we miss out on the benefits of giving. Now, I don't expect our kids to really understand the joy of giving. It's a great thing to try to teach, but on Christmas morning, what are kids thinking? What's under that tree for me? But it's also an opportunity for us as adults to kind of think about the opportunity to give. And what are those benefits that we get from giving? And if it's this season that brings those things to our minds, then I say we celebrate that. And I say we encourage ourselves to think about the importance of giving and the benefits of giving. Obviously, when you think about the benefits of giving, we start in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." We've used this verse over the course of time to illustrate the importance of, on the first day of the week, setting aside some of what we have made to give back to the Lord. It's an opportunity to give to the Lord's work. It's an opportunity to further the gospel and to do our part to help the church to carry out what it needs to do. The benefit of giving in this circumstance is we obey God's commands. It's what He's told us to do. It's what He's asked us to do. And when we really think about what we have, who do we owe that to? You know, we owe it to Him, don't we? We owe it to Him that we have what we have. There's a lot of things in life that I don't understand and can't explain. The fact that we have the different gifts and abilities we have is one of those things. We're different, aren't we? We all have different gifts and different abilities. We all can do different things to make a living and to use the gifts that God has given us to take care of our families. We were blessed with those things. And so it's our opportunity to give back to God and thank Him for what He's given us, for what He's done for us, and for what He continues to do. The benefit here is we know we're doing the right thing. We know we're doing what God asks, and so it's a command that we follow. But when we understand the command and we understand what God has done for us, oh, it is so awesome to be able to give back to God. And can we ever really give enough to really give back to God? The benefit is we get to obey God's command and know we're doing the right thing. There's a story that happened a few years ago. Lieutenant Bobby Qualls works for the fire department in Memphis. And he was called out to a home that they ended up installing smoke detectors in that home. They had no way to determine if there would be a fire. No smoke detectors at all. While he was at the home, he discovered that this family had four small children. And they all were sleeping on bare mattresses. And they had no clothes. They had no warm clothes. It was about 30 degrees outside and the kids were playing, but they had no coats. They had nothing warm to wear. He took that information back to his firehouse, and they decided that that year they would adopt this family and they would be their secret Santa. They would try to purchase things for them, things that they needed, things to help them. They adopted this family. One night, while Lieutenant Qualls was out shopping for this very family, he received a call. A recall to that same street. Ended up being that same house. And the house had caught on fire. And one of the small children had decided to hide underneath some clothes. And so they couldn't find him. Eventually they did. They brought the kid out, took him to the hospital. Eventually, the child would regain consciousness. The father said it looked like they took out tar and soot from his lungs for 3 days straight. While in the hospital, the news and the papers caught wind of the story. And the secret Santa mission of Qualls and his fellow firefighters snowballed into one that the town took over. Before long, their fire station was filled with not only toys, but essential items to get this family back on their feet. The father says, "These guys aren't just firefighters. They're our guardian angels. If they hadn't installed a smoke detector that first day they came to our house, we wouldn't have known when the fire started. Then they went the extra 10 miles just to give us a Christmas." What's Christmas all about? What's the benefit of giving? We give on the first day of the week to obey God's commands. We also get to give to others. I think God expects us to give to others and to help others. And it's situations like this that remind us that there are people who need us. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Jesus says, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise." Jesus illustrated a point that one of the benefits we get in giving is we get to share in the lives of others. We get to participate in the lives of other people. Can you imagine the bond that has now been built between a fireman who installed a smoke detector and an entire family? What could replace the value that came from their willingness to give? We get to share in the lives of others. We get to make an impact on others that in most cases we don't get to do. We get to share with others. Another story is told of a preacher who was in a convenience store in New Orleans. As he was standing in line to pay for his items, there was a family in front of him that didn't have enough money to pay for what they were trying to buy. The preacher simply leaned forward and slid some money into the man's hand and just whispered to him, "You don't need to turn around, but please accept this money." The man didn't turn around. He took the money, he bought the items, and they left. 9 years after that, this same preacher was invited to speak at a church in New Orleans. And as he stood and gave that sermon, there was a unique family in the crowd. After the service, a man approached him and said, "I want to thank you for what you did for us. 9 years ago, you helped us." You may think, how did he know? Preacher was South African. He had a very interesting dialect. And so he heard him and he instantly recognized his voice. The man went on to tell him the story of what they were doing at the convenience store that night. The family had fallen on hard times. They had made a decision as a family that they would just end it all together. They had decided on a suicide pact. And they had a child that was going to be part of this. And so before they were going to drive to the place in which they were all going to take their lives, they decided to give the child one last meal. They were at the convenience store to buy that meal that they didn't have enough money to purchase. After the preacher had given them the money and after they left, they went to the spot in which they were going to do just that. And as they sat in the car and cried, they couldn't go through with it. They left that spot and drove by a church whose sign simply said, "Jesus loves you." And the preacher, as he had handed him the money and whispered those things, the last thing he said to them was, "Jesus loves you." From that moment forward, this family started going to church. What does giving do? Sometimes we have no idea. Sometimes we don't know the difference that we can make. In this case, this man saved the life of a family. A family that had decided to give it all up. A family that had decided they could not go on. But because of the kindness and the generosity of one person, they changed their lives forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. For one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a willing giver. What does it do to our hearts to know that we've done something good for someone? That we've sacrificed of ourselves to help someone else. The blessing that comes from that can't be measured in monetary value. It swells inside of us. It makes us better. And it benefits us, the giver, as much as it does the receiver. One of the benefits of giving is the ability to willingly and cheerfully give of ourselves to someone else. Mark chapter 12 tells the story of Jesus at the treasury. Of Jesus watching those giving the offering. Verse 41 of Mark 12 says, "And he sat opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money in the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" Now, obviously, this is illustrating the offering and what these people had to give. The widow just didn't have very much. What she gave was not significant to anyone but her. 2 small copper coins, less than a penny. Wouldn't move the needle to really help very many people, but she gave all. One of the principles in giving is it must be sacrificial. This doesn't just apply to money, but our gifts and talents as well. We give all that we can, all that we have to help others. We become sacrificial givers. Jesus illustrated those who gave great sums, but it really didn't affect them at all. It affected her a great deal. And she left that day knowing she could not have done any more than she did. What a benefit to her. We're blessed when we give, and we receive so much more in return. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Going back to 2 Corinthians 9 for just a second, verse 10 says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." It is more blessed to give than receive. The Bible is very plain on this subject. When we give cheerfully, when we give willingly, when we sacrificially give of ourselves to others, we get so much more in return. Now, you don't give selfishly just to get in return. The Bible talks about what we receive. God rewards those who sow bountifully. Now, there are people, unfortunately, who use Scripture to try to teach this. If you'll give, you'll get wealthy. God's not talking about that. He He's talking about those spiritual blessings and the fact that we are made better people and our hearts are more in tune with God when we give. When we give, we receive more in return. And when you really think about it, one of the reasons we should give is because we receive the greatest gift of all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's a gift that was given for each one of us. What greater sacrifice is there than the one that Jesus gave for us? We give because we receive the greatest gift. So I use these words this morning to encourage us. Don't be jaded by the commercialization of Christmas. Don't buy into all those who simply kind of look down their nose at going out and buying gifts for others. It's not a bad thing to give gifts. It's not a bad thing to want to do something nice for someone else. Let's look at Christmas this year as the season of giving. What opportunities do we have not only to give to our family, but give to people who need us? Give to people who are struggling. This is a great opportunity. It's a great time of the year to do just that. This is the season of giving. Let's examine our own giving. Our giving to the Lord and our giving to others, and see if there's things that we need to be doing differently, if there's places we need to improve. Let's look for those opportunities to help others who don't have what we have. And let's remember, in giving, we will receive more in blessings than we can ever give. We have an opportunity today, if there's anything in our life that needs to be corrected, to do so. The greatest gift that was ever given was given to us so that we could be reconciled to God and be saved forever. So today we have an opportunity. And if you need to take advantage of that opportunity, there's no greater time, there's no greater place than right here and right now. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?